Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Getting today's news cycle started on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Wills, ways to save the deal, boss. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. Okay, you've gotten through the summer, and you still need a pair of sunglasses or an extra pair for the other car. Granite's got you covered this morning on some great deals on some name brand things here. What you got?
Oh, yeah, we're talking Oakley and Ray-Ban and Bill. I'm telling you, summer sunglasses are awesome. Fall sunglasses are useful. That winter sun glare with the sun on the snow or the ice, whoo, this is something that I think has some year-round practicality.
I wear sunglasses year-round when driving. Yeah, it's especially, you're right, the bright, sunny, snowy days, too, can be a problem. So what'd you come across?
There you go. There you go. That's the deal. That's what we got going on today. So actually, three big deals to get through. First are Oakley and Ray-Ban deals. I just want to mention to anyone, anytime you see an Oakley deal online, generally, for the prices I found, they are complete scams. They're replicas. They're knockoffs. They are not authorized sales. Yeah. One of the luxuries I have is I check everything out months in advance, and these are 100% authorized, direct Oakley and Ray-Ban sales, which are phenomenal.
Okay.
The reductions you're going to see today, you're generally paying half price. And again, you get the carrying cases, all the accessories. This is fully legit, ready to rock. The third sale to go with the Oakley, then the Ray-Bans, is a pair of smart sunglasses also made by Oakley. These have built-in GPS, built-in audio, built-in coaching, built-in music streaming, and headphones that actually fit into your ear from the sunglasses. The
Good
idea
grief.
Builds for those outside working out that want to be able to enjoy their music on a bike ride, on a walk, on a run. The Oakley smart sunglasses I found today, one of the coolest gadgets I've ever tested.
Good stuff. Prices, where are we at?
As low as $49, depending on how quickly you move to WTAM.com. Keywords, ways to save.
The deal boss, Matt Granite, he's got you covered. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow. We're going to help your skin. Matt, thanks.
Awesome.
Snyder, you run a good meeting. Oh. Every day we have a post-show meeting, and Snyder runs it, and it's always a good meeting.
It's always very efficient.
You do a nice job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Help you out with that next meeting coming up, too. Sports mornings, 15 and 45 past. We meet here twice an hour with Mike Snyder for sports. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. Sixth inning, Indians and Reds tied at 2 in Cincinnati. Tried with a runner at second. And, of course, they're in the National League. No DH, so you go for the pinch hitter for a pitcher, Mike Clevinger. And that guy was Yandy Diaz.
Again, the payoff pitch. Swung and drilled. Deep left center field. This is trouble. One hops the wall. Indians take the lead. Allen scores easily. Head first sliding. Double for Yandy Diaz. Off the Indians bench, and there he pulled a ball. He got the count to 3-2, and he hit a rocket up the alley in left center.
All this guy does is hit. Now he's getting a chance with Edwin Encarnacion on the DL. They may not be able to keep Yandy down in Columbus very much longer, the way he has been swinging the bat since he arrived. Now, that was the igniter. Indian would score 6 more runs in that inning, 7 overall in the 6th. They go on to win by 7, 10-3 over the Reds. Jose Ramirez homer, drove in 3. Michael Brantley had 3 hits. Clevinger goes 5 innings. He finally got his 8th win. He had been stuck on 7 since early July. Tonight, Corey Kluber seeks win number 15 in a 7-10 start. As the Tribe and Reds go at it again, you can hear it right here. Now, prior to the game, Tribe President Chris Antonetti revealed that recently acquired outfielder Leonis Martin is starting to recover from what was a life-threatening bacterial infection. Actually, I should say present tense. He's in stable condition now, but the way Antonetti described it is that the infection used his bloodstream to attack his internal organs. Very scary. He was in critical condition at one point. Martin now listed as stable and improving, and the doctors are monitoring him closely and still trying to determine how he exactly contracted that infection. So keep Leonis in your prayers. The Browns will be back on the practice field this afternoon. Still no word as to when or whether free agent wide receiver Dez Bryant will come to town. More on the Browns in a moment. Golf, for some reason, Jim Furyk isn't saying yet whether Tiger Woods will be one of his captain picks for the Ryder Cup. He's got 4 of them. Come on, Jim. Come on. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Things got a little fractious on the field yesterday with offensive coordinator Todd Haley yelling at defensive coordinator Greg Williams after Baker Mayfield got bumped by a defender. Haley yelled, "Don't touch our quarterback." And he used an expletive in there, to which Williams replied, "Well, hey, somebody's got to block him." Hugh Jackson had this take on the exchange between his two coordinators.
Testy's good. I'm surprised we're just now getting testy. No, they're fine. I mean, those things happen. I mean, we got men that are competing every day. Both sides are competing. That's part of football.
Browns are really a gift that keeps on giving to HBO as Hard Knocks 2 is tonight, and I'm sure that will be part of it as we get an in-depth look at the Browns and what they are going into next week's game 2, or this Friday's game 2 against the Bills. Browns back on the practice field this afternoon. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
Bill Zimford joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. The government rested in the Manafort trial. Remind me again why he's on trial?
Oh, yeah. The Paul Manafort on trial. This is in Alexandria, Virginia. Tax evasion, bank fraud charges, and the prosecution putting 27 witnesses on the stand over 2 weeks to lay out how he earned money overseas, most notably from the country of Ukraine, then hid that money in foreign accounts. And later on, when that money dried up, Bill, he went to banks and fraudulently got loans from them. So they've been laying out this case for 2 weeks now.
At one point, charge of the Trump campaign, of course, but none of these charges, none of this trials had anything to do about Trump?
Nope, nothing to do with Trump. In fact, there was only one brief mention of the campaign at all during this. And at that point, when the campaign was mentioned, the prosecution requested a sidebar with a judge, which led some to believe that some of these people involved in this trial could face other scrutiny by the Mueller investigation. But nonetheless, prosecution arrested after a couple of witnesses yesterday. The big question now, Bill, is will the defense even put on a case? Will they put witnesses out there? Will Manafort testify, or will the defense simply rest without calling any witnesses at all?
Hey, one of the note you sent me, the North and the South got together again as far as at least planning to get together over in Korea?
Yep, they're going to hold another summit. The exact date has not been set as of yet. It's expected to be in September. Possibility it could be on Foundation Day in North Korea, the 70th anniversary of the founding of that country, and that would be on September 9th. But yes, there will be another inter-Korean summit, this time in Pyongyang, with Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, going to North Korea to meet with Kim Jong-un. They just want to go over their agreement they reached on April 27th and the progress that has been made.
The Zimfer file this morning. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
Boy, wasn't that a good meeting? Don't you just say that all the time when you walk out? That was a great meeting. I've got Derry Allbringer with me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now, you've got some research on meetings and how to make it a great meeting, huh?
I do. And you know what? You're right. Before we start bashing the boss and anybody who you know, organizes these things, you are absolutely right. When a meeting is properly conducted, it's a great opportunity for collaboration. You can do some team building.
Right.
And if you want to get noticed, if you know you are the next big thing at your company, if you could only get in front of that person who's, you know, a couple rungs above you on the ladder, if that person's in the meeting, this is a great opportunity for you to get noticed and maybe get bumped up a few rungs yourself. Now, that's the good thing.
Okay.
Here's the problem.
All right.
We seem to have forgotten how to conduct meetings. And because of it, you know, no matter what you do for a living, when you hear the words, "We're going to have a meeting," you're like, oh, you know.
No matter the industry.
There's some time I'll never get back.
Yeah, no matter the industry. Oh, a meeting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We're in the communications business, it would seem. We've got computers, cell phones, we're smartphones, we're texting, we're emailing. But there seems to be a problem when we get face-to-face. We're never prepared, it seems like.
No, we aren't. In fact, that was one of the main complaints in this survey by Robert Half Account Temps on why we really don't look forward to meetings. One of the main complaints is that people are distracted. They don't know how to talk face-to-face anymore. You know, I can remember, and I'm of a certain generation, and I'm going to show my age right now, that if you had your BlackBerry out in a meeting, remember those BlackBerries?
Right.
You'd get something, you know, like a coffee cup or something probably thrown your way saying, "Hey, pay attention."
Right.
Eyes here. Now, while it may not be necessarily a good thing to have your cell phone out and to check your emails, at least it's accepted. And that's one of the reasons that we really don't like meetings, is because that's not how we communicate most effectively at work anymore. So, you know, if you're going to have a meeting, if you're the boss, ask yourself, do I really need to do this? Is this something that might be better handled in an email or a text? Well, probably not a text, but an email, you know, or an informal conversation between the people involved. You know, we have a Starbucks in my building, and there's a lot of, you know, hey, walk with me. Let's get a coffee.
Yeah.
And that's just as effective in many cases, if not more effective. The other thing, these meetings almost never start on time, and they almost never end on time. So if you're having the meeting, if you're organizing it, be aware of that. Your time may be valuable, but so is your employee's time.
Yeah. Did they ask about incentives like donuts? Do we still want them?
You know what? Donuts are a great thing for breakfast meetings. I say, hey, open the bar. You know, if it's after you know, whatever time is appropriate where you are, open the bar. That's what, believe it or not, some people said. You know, provide some kind of incentive. And in parentheses, it said donuts, alcohol, you know, you name it. So that's absolutely another thing that you can do to, you know, to get people at least to be a little more accommodating towards your meeting when you're having it is, you know, make it fun for them and have an agenda and stick to it.
Daria Ulbringer and I are able to get through this without having a meeting about the meeting. Daria, good stuff. Thanks for the tips.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Great follow on Twitter @ Terry Pluto joins us this morning on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Hi, Terry. Speaking of posts, let's talk a little Browns here first, guys. And when it comes to receivers, you wrote an interesting column on exactly why did the Browns trade Corey Coleman again? Remind me.
Well, part of it was he wasn't getting any better. In fact, he might have been declining. And also the fact I think Rashard Higgins played quite a bit better.
Terry, we look at this team, little testy exchange on the field between the coordinators. There's kind of an edge right now with Todd Haley, Greg Williams, and Hugh Jackson, the man in the middle. What's your thoughts on the dynamic right now?
I was out there yesterday, and it was funny. I mean, Baker Mayfield was just sort of touched. I mean, maybe a slight push. It wasn't like he was trying to, you know, level him. And Haley screams and Williams screams. And you have guys, first of all, Haley, Williams, and, you know, Hugh Jackson, all been head coaches before they came to Cleveland. I also think that all these guys want to make sure that their teams are ready to go, because regardless of what anyone says, you know, the team's going to be better and so on. There's a lot of pressure for this team to get off to a good start.
There really is, and Hugh Jackson, of course, certainly has to be feeling that.
Yes.
I know you wrote today a bit about the exchange that we saw in Hard Knocks with Todd Haley and Hugh. Your thoughts more on that?
Well, one, that's an age-old debate of how much do you play guys in the practices or even preseason games to get them ready versus a chance of them getting hurt. And every year it seems like the answer is play them less. You know, all kinds of quotes, sports science comes in and everything. The fact that they kind of went back and forth on that, I didn't act like, gee, maybe some people weren't used to that, but those things happen in meetings. I was a bit encouraged, like, because I think later on, Hugh Jackson's going to be pushing Todd Haley about, you know, play calling and that kind of stuff. And I think that's really where Haley's going to dig in and hold his fort, because it just showed right there. You know, Haley came in here not to be Hugh's yes man. He's going to be the offensive coordinator. He wants to run his offense, and that's good.
Since you were out there, pick anything up on Dez Bryant?
Not a thing. All I know is if you really are anxious to have him in, why are you waiting till Thursday?
Yeah.
No, seriously. Why?
Schedules. People are busy.
I don't know what Dez. I think that's the thing with Dez Bryant. I really wonder about if he really wants to be here, he'd have been here, right?
Right. Or if they wanted him here, he'd been.
Well,
here.
Yeah. Seems like though that's kind of a cat and mouse game. I don't know that. Of course, we're still waiting on what's going to happen with Josh Gordon, aren't we?
Yeah. And, I don't have an answer on that. Yeah, just keep waiting.
I understand.
And the old thing, even if he's back, you know, remember, the only time he's played 16 games, his rookie year.
I hear you. So, you know, Terry, I look at this team, though, just kind of looking at the Browns for this season. That first game against Pittsburgh, you know, the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell's still out. There is an opportunity. They're at home. Even last year, the Steelers were awful. The problem was the Browns had DeShone Kizer at quarterback. There's so much on that game. I hope they go through these preseason games really trying to really get ready for that game, as opposed to just thinking long-term on the season.
I would think they were going to, and also one of those things in the NFL is like some of the hardcore gamblers even hate to bet the first week of the season because crazy things happen. I mean, the Browns had a shot to beat the Steelers last year. I came away very encouraged in that game. Remember, there was a blocked punt, something else that cost them, and Kizer played relatively well, and then reality showed up real quickly after that. But you're not talking about rookies. You know, I tell you, Jarvis Landry made a couple of catches in traffic. It seems like every time I'm out there, he does that. It's just phenomenal to see what he does. And I know Landry said he wouldn't mind having Dez Bryant, but I really wonder. I think he thinks, man, this is great. They're going to throw all the balls to me.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Check him out at Cleveland.com as well. Thanks, Terry.
Take care, guys.
Agent Derek Meister, the geek at the Geek Squad, joins me on News Radio WTAM 1100. Hi, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
A lot of buzz around Samsung and the new Galaxy Note 9. Give me the early review. What's this thing going to be about?
Sure. This is really one of their flagship phones. There's so many different phones out there for, you know, every different need that you may have. The Note 9 is really kind of that powerhouse phone for somebody who just wants the biggest screen they can. Also for people who really like to use it, their smartphone, almost more like a computer. It does have features like an S Pen, so it's a little stylus that pops out from the device itself, allows you to very easy write notes on it, all the kind of things you can imagine using a stylus for. But they also upgraded it with a Bluetooth low energy support. So now you can actually use it as a remote control. So you can control your music. When you're taking group photos, you bring a little S Pen with you and can use it as a remote shutter. It's just a really great little device for that.
You mentioned energy. How's battery life on this thing? What are you hearing?
Yeah, this is really they obviously, because this is a bigger phone, it's bigger, for example, than even the Galaxy S9 Plus. It does have one of the largest batteries that Samsung offers and gives you really that long-lasting power to use it all day.
All right. Camera?
Camera, great. Again, they upgraded the camera. It's actually got two little lenses on the back to give you both daytime and nighttime performance. And again, because of that really large screen, it's 6.4 inches. You'll be able to edit those photos or videos right on the device itself, get them out. It's going to be a really great phone for content generators or just, you know, getting all those pictures to friends and family.
The newest smartphone, Galaxy Note 9, you keep talking about the screen. This thing does go edge-to-edge, too, on the display. It's pretty big then, right?
Yeah, well, like I said, 6.4 inches, so it's bigger than even the S9 Plus. It's going to be really one of the largest out there. And it also has the stereo speakers on it, tuned by AKG with support for Dolby Atmos. And then, you know, if, for example, if you do pre-order through Best Buy, not only do you save up to $200 with that pre-order and qualified activation, you can even get a free pair of AKG noise-canceling headphones with that phone through Best Buy.
August 24th, they should be in?
Yeah, they'll be out August 24th. I absolutely recommend going ahead and pre-ordering. We both have the plans for Verizon, AT&T, or Sprint, as well as the unlock phones. It's going to be really popular. And then just also, we do have the both sizes. So it is going to come in both a 128 gigabyte version, as well as a 512 gigabyte version. Neat thing about the phone also is that you can add up to 512 gigabyte micro SD just to add that extra space. So for that larger phone, you can get all the way up to 1 terabyte of data on that phone. So it's just going to be crazy.
The take on the Galaxy Note 9 from Agent Derek Meister, the geek at the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.
Hired her four times. it tells you something about the Trump administration and, frankly, their inability to attract great talent. They haven't been able to get people with real substance in positions of power. This administration is undermanned.
In general terms, most thought, I guess, he wasn't going to win. So as far as tying your career to him early on, few people did. And you, if you're in D.C., you know you go to work for the White House. It's an honor, don't get me wrong, but the clock's always ticking, no matter the president, right?
And you're going to have to go out in the real world, get a job, and Trump is the most polarizing president we've had in modern history. So, look at Sean Spicer, who hasn't been able to get a real job since he left the White House. And then you end up with huge legal bills. So it is tough to get good talent in the White House.
Let me go to the FBI. They fired Strzok, and I guess Trump was okay with that. Wondering why it took so long, the FBI guy?
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about Strzok is that he is the guy who took James Comey's letter, his statement that said Hillary Clinton was grossly negligent in handling her emails, and Strzok is the guy who changed that to careless. Wait a minute. Grossly negligent actually has legal implications. That's a crime. And Strzok got her off the hook. And, of course, now he says, well, it didn't affect, my bias didn't affect any of my work. Well, actually, yes, it did. It showed how politicized the FBI was to Hillary Clinton's benefit. He should have been fired ages ago.
One more thing here. Alex Castellanos with me. We got some voting today, four states, I think, with different primaries. Any headline there to watch maybe today?
Well, we're seeing in Wisconsin and Minnesota who's going to take on Scott Walker, the governor going back for his third term, and Tim Pawlenty, a former governor going back. So we're seeing sequels. This is the age of the sequel in politics. Old trusted names. But voters are in the mood for change, disruptive change. They're tired of more of the same in the establishment. So watch those races. Do voters overthrow the established order or choose stability in this uncertain Trumpian world?
Alex Castellanos on The Noise, which is news anymore in the morning. Alex, thanks, pal.
Good to be with you.
Jim Rosenhaus joins us on News Radio WTAM 1100. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bill.
Number 35 for Jose Ramirez, right?
Yeah, he just keeps right on rolling, and who knows where it's gonna end by the time the season is over. But it's going to be an historical season, even if it ended today. So, just a tremendous year, and it kind of got the team going a little bit. Our early home run always helps, and I know there was the big inning later, but he's something else. He's been so consistent, and more than consistent. I mean, he's been spectacular. One of the best players in baseball, and man, that MVP vote's going to be interesting at the end of the season.
Well, he is doing it all. He really is, as we look at it. You know, Jim, you touch on the 7-run sixth inning. You go back to that inning. Really, it was a pinch hit that got it started, didn't it?
Yeah, how about that? Yandy Diaz, and Tito had mentioned that, you know, that would probably be his role here in Cincinnati, although, who knows, maybe he'll find a way to get him in the lineup here in a National League park, but he came off the bench and he had bats. He hasn't played many games in the major leagues this season, but every time he has played, the at bats have been tremendous. And that was a situation where he worked the count full, spoiled a bunch of pitches, and then drove one up the alley in left center. And it's really going to be interesting how they try and find him at bats, because there's still not a position for him yet. But he sure is making it a tough decision to try and figure that out as he continues to hit.
Yeah, when a guy hits, they usually find a spot for him, don't they?
Isn't that something, how that works, Mike?
They'll figure it out. That's what that Tito, I'm sure, will figure that out. Also, of late, it just seems like there's a good trend with Jason Kipnis on the field and at the plate. Your thoughts about Kip?
Yeah, about a week to 10 days now, he's hitting over 300, and even the outs last night were loud. A couple of long drives to center field, and really good plays defensively. I mean, he made a diving stop and turn and throw going toward the middle late in the game. So, you know, he said last week, we're talking about defense, and he had a good game, I think it was against the Angels. And I'm telling you, Mike Sarbaugh has said it, the third base coach and infield coach, and Tito has said it, that his work this season has been better than it's ever been. And they're talking about that early work, coming out, taking the ground balls and all that. It just hadn't necessarily translated yet, but sometimes it's one of those things, if you do it every day, eventually it's going to pay off. And that's what Kip said. He said, you know, you don't notice it right away, but the hope is that at some point when you really need it, all that extra work that he's been doing, and it's a ton, probably more than any time in his career, will pay off, and it certainly has lately.
Corey Kluber tonight. Trevor Bauer still hobbling. What's up?
Yeah, I actually walked in with him from the bus to the clubhouse yesterday, and it took a while. But he was saying there's just it's a bruise, and it just takes a little while because there's some fluid in there. So the trainers work on it each day, and then he actually was doing his arm care work and everything like that and getting around okay yesterday. So it's just, it's going to take a little bit of time, but he's still tracking to make his next start on Friday.
All right, Jim Rosenhaus on the Tribe Indians Update, brought to you by Falls Motor City. Thanks, bud.
You got it, guys.